Right, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Thursday's Talking Team podcast for round three of the Super Rugby. I'm the Happy Man, and with me today are Yowie and Sully. Carl's got something on. Everyone hates it when work intervenes with the rugby. Just to touch on what we're going to go through in today's podcast, we're going to go through the team news for the week, the round three clashes, make our predictions, and a little bit of our highlights and lowlights of the week with the shouting at clouds later on. Let me introduce the panellists, which are obviously, as I've done, there's Yowie. Hello, Yowie. How are you going?
Not too bad yourself. Got some big jandals to fill.
You do. You do indeed. The good news is you're from God's own country, so you'll be a very highly intelligent guest today.
Yeah, well, it's just good to do my bit for the great podcast shortage of 2024.
Exactly. And also joining us today is Sully. How are you today, Sully?
I'm great, mate. It's good to finally have the balance right on this podcast. We've finally got enough Queenslanders.
Correct. Correct. When 100% is barely enough. Let's get on with it, gents. Highlight of the week, Sully, what's your highlight?
Mate, I just loved the way that the Reds played against the Hurricanes. It was just amazing to see a team that committed. I mean, our scrum got smashed for half a game, but just to keep, I don't know, busting their asses, keep going and to nearly come up with a win and be drawn after 80 minutes and losing golden point, it was amazing. I loved it.
Very good. Yeah, what was your highlight for the week?
Oh, look, I mean, firstly, just the unpredictability of the week was brilliant. I mean, you can't just assume anymore that, you know, Crusaders are always going to win or New Zealand teams are always going to beat Australian teams. But that aside, I mean, Drua and Moana Pacifica was absolutely excellent. I think it's no coincidence that the highlights package had to be 30 minutes, not 25 that Stan put together. But I did have a good chuckle when right at the end, the Drua rejected the chance to kick 3 points and put it into extra time and golden point, and instead just try and run it, which I thought was quite a Michael Checker-inspired move at the time.
Yeah, it was awesome, wasn't it? For mine, it was actually seeing the Rebels make that comeback. I was really gratified to see that, you know, I think they were a bit over-egged the previous week. They just came out with too much emotion. They managed to get back on and scoring a handy 20-odd or 30-odd points to close out the game. Just came home with a wet sail. I just really hope that it ignites their season and kicks them on from here, you know, where they're competitive all year, regardless of what happens with them. So for mine, that was really gratifying to see that. It was felt sorry for the Force, but there you go.
It was definitely a game of two halves, mate.
It was a game of three quarters and a half.
Yeah.
There we go. Let's get on to the games for the weekend. First game we've got is Moana Pacifica versus the Rebels. That's at North Harbour Stadium in Hamilton, actually. I checked on that today. It's actually being held at FMG Stadium in Hamilton. It was originally planned for North Harbour, but there's something wrong with that stadium there. I think they put a concert on a while back and it hasn't recovered. Moana have got a new right winger, Pepesani Patafilo, and Azeno Tuti Vuki starts on the left wing, and Molly starts at hooker. Rebels have got five changes. I can only assume Alex Murphy is injured because Jordan Ulisi starts at hooker. Sam Talakai is the tight end. Tani Olatupo moves to the bench. Ekuasi starts at open side flanker, which is with Brad Walkenroot ruled out, which is a big one. He's be interesting to see whether he's got the motor to play open side. Ryan Larens is in at halfback with Matt Proctor's injury. Filippo Dangunu has been shifted to the midfield. Jake Strawn, who did play well on the weekend, has been gone fullback with Andrew Callaway to the wing. Not much happening there, James. What do you think?
Yeah, Murphy's definitely injured. Tani Olatupo just didn't have the legs last week. He was trotting from ruck to ruck and trying to hide in defence, basically, I think. So I think they're saving him to late in the game they have some impact off the bench because their scrum's going to struggle towards the end, I'm guessing. Wilkins is a bit.
Sally, I'm reading it right up. It says Taniela Tupou is going to be injected to add some explosiveness. So that's you, Talib.
Well, okay. I didn't see explosiveness last week, but we'll see. And I think Dalgunu at 13 is great there. So I love him at 13. So I think that's a good move. Well, it's not a move they had a choice with, but with Proctor's injury. But yeah, no, I think that's going to go all right. It's hard to pick a winner out. Are we picking winners yet?
Yep. Yeah, pick them away.
I think it's hard to pick a winner out of this one, but I like the way Pacifica played last week, so I'm going to go with Moana Pacifica on this one.
Yowie, what do you think?
Yeah, I reckon Moana Pacifica by five. They've got their tails up, and you know they're certainly not afraid to throw it around and have a go from anywhere.
Very good. Yeah, I'm going to pick with the Rebel. Go with the Rebels here. I did like their last 25. I just hope it can be a bit of a catalyst for them going forward. One player I will mention who's up for his potential debut this week is their reserve hooker, Ethan Dobbins. He's been shunting around in Queensland Premier Grade for a few years with the West's Rebels, and he is a good player. He's actually very good. I actually rate him quite highly, and I thought he was unlucky not to be in the starting, either on the bench or starting in the first couple of games based on what I've seen. So I really want him to go well. And yeah, I'm just going to go with the Rebels. Okay, next game along. Tars v. the Highlanders at Allianz. That's on Friday. It's a late game. It's interesting to see that we're now starting to, a couple of games in, we're starting to see a few breakages and a few injuries coming along and a fair few changes going along. But we've got, Waratahs have got Ned Hannigan coming in at blindside. Fergus Lee Warner to the bench. Isaiah Parisi returns into the centres. Tristan Riley starts on the wing. Dylan Peach is out with an eye injury, which I didn't know about. Highlanders have got Billy Harmon and Sean Withy to the bench after they were late for a team meeting. Good work, boys. Obviously enjoying Bondi too much. And so Nicara Broughton starts at 7. And Tom Sanders makes his debut at 6. Gents, what do you think, Sully?
I like Ned Hannigan. I mean, he's copped a lot of crap over the years, but I think he's a great player these days. And I think Ned Hannigan deserves his spot starting. They'll be welcoming back Parisi. They want that hard running in the centres. So I don't think Billy Harmon and Sean Withy, I don't think they was their fault that they were late, but they decided to drop them anyway, just to set an example. So I don't think it was actually their fault, but I'm not sure of the full story on that. But I'm going to go with the Highlanders on this one.
Yowie, what do you think?
Oh, I'm terribly conflicted. You know, do I want to see Aussie teams win more than I want to see the Tars lose? Probably ultimately you have to back the Tars. Don't publish this. You know, they're playing at home. They seem to be finding a bit of form. And you know, the Highlanders probably less so. So yeah, I'll go Tars by 7.
Look. Yeah, as much as it pains me to say this, I probably also would go with the Tars on this one. I'm with you, Sully. I think Ned Hannigan is actually playing well, and I think it's probably just because he's grown up a bit. He started as a young player in a difficult position. He wasn't into his man body yet, and he sort of is now. So I just hope he goes well. It's nice to see him maturing, and I think you know, it's good to apply the sight test rather than just go on Ned Hannigan's rubbish because he was 3 or 4 years ago when he was too young for the position. So, yeah, give me the Tars at home. I think they'll pull a good crowd and they deserve to. They were good value last week against the Satyrs. They beat them properly. Like, it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't we hung on. It wasn't a red card. It wasn't anything like that that sort of got them home. So yeah, I think the Tars were good value for their win last week, and I'll back them again this week.
Well, you always say like Reds beat Tars, Tars beat Crusaders, therefore Reds are much better than the Crusaders. So,
Well, it's just
my
logic.
theory.
It makes it, you know, it makes sense. You know, it makes sense. Right. This is a weird thing to say, but I think this is the game of the round. Coming up next is the on Saturday in the early game. It's around about lunchtime. The Drua versus the Satyrs in Churchill Park. Both teams are 0-2, which you would have gotten pretty long odds that the Satyrs would be 0-2. A lot of people, you know, it did come out earlier in the week that it's the first time the Satyrs have been 0-2 since 2014. They did make the grand final that year. So, you know, let's not write them off just yet. But it is this one is played in Churchill Park in Lautoka. So that gives them a fairly strong thing. Drossese comes in. Heretti comes in at number one at Lucet prop. I mean, not even going to try and say Joni's last name. It's got way too many vowels for me. Vilvi Mrema starts at eight. The Satyrs bringing back that 10 Riley Hopea. He's going to provide cover for Tahei Kamarat at 10. And Jhone Aravan is coming off the bench. Sully, what do you reckon?
It's hard to. Oh my God. Okay, so Fiji's going to love Drossese's back at 15. Satyrs like haven't changed their starting lineup. And it's just hard to get past that they're the Crusaders. Now, even though they're 0-2, they're the Crusaders. So even though it's in Fiji, even though it's in the middle of the day, I'm going with the Crusaders. That's all. Just I don't know why. Because they're the Crusaders, I guess. But yeah, that's my pick.
Well, histories would suggest you've got a strong case, Sully. What do you think?
The heart says Drua because I think they're everyone's second favourite team, if not favourite. But I tend to agree with Sully. Look, what are the chances the Crusaders have just gone off the boil on a permanent basis versus, you know, they'll pull their socks up for this game. So I think Crusaders.
I'll tell you, the last time the Crusaders were 0-3 was in 1996, and they came dead last that year.
There you go. I'm going to buck the trend. I'm going with the Drua. They're a different team at home. Their support will be huge. Their only issue will be as if they're a bit over-egged and just play with too much emotion. But I'm going to take the Drua. I just think the, you know, obviously Christchurch is going to implode if that happens. But yeah, I just think I like the Drua. I think they've got a cohesive team. Let's be honest, they played probably one of the games of the round on last weekend. They haven't been beaten by much. And it's their first game at home. So I'm going to take the Drua by 10 is a bold prediction.
Okay.
Yeah.
You should write these down every week.
Well, I do. So I'm going to be accountable later when I actually tell you how badly I did last weekend.
Wow.
So,
Okay.
then on Saturday evening, or 2:35 p.m., we've got the Brumbies v the Force. Brumbies, Swain's returning. Tom Hooper's moving to blind side. Valentini's back to eight. Charlie Carl's been left out. Tamati Tua returns at inside centre. Caden Neville has been named on the bench. The Force have got basically the same team as last week, with the exception of Bailey Kunzel, who comes into the side for Sam Spink, who's going to miss a couple of weeks with an injury. Gents, Yowie, how do you see this one going?
I mean, Brumbies at home, Force sort of I don't know. Like, I think the Brumbies surely, have more of that tradition. I don't know. I think they'll just be more solid and probably Brumbies by 10.
Yeah, I agree. Brumbies are going to go back into their patterns. They're going to have had a good hard look at themselves all week after that drubbing they got on the weekend, which is very un-Brumbies like. And Valentini's back in his favourite position. Tom Hooper is probably a bit lightweight. He's a big boy. Not really a second rower, in my opinion. He's more of a big six than a rower. So their back row in the scrum, their flankers and number eight are looking a lot better than last week. As good as Charlie Kail went. I'll do the same. I'll go Brumbies by two scores, 10-14.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think Brumbies history says that. As much as the Satyrs aren't rubbish 3 weeks in a row, don't lose 3 games on the trot, haven't done so for nearly 30 years. The Brumbies are generally not poor twice in repeated weeks. And it's one of those things. I think it was just a bad game. It wasn't a bad sign. I think if the Satyrs lose this week, I think it's a bad sign. I think it's the same for the Brumbies, but I just don't see it. I think they'll have too much up front for the Force, who really do need a couple of props. And I think they'll kick away by a couple of scores as well. So
I'm
we're three
surprised.
three.
I'm surprised Caden Neville's playing. He copped a really good shot last week, so he must have a very hard head.
Indeed.
Now
Indeed.
that Nick White's playing for the Force, do you think any of the Brumbies will call for the ball from him and see if he accidentally throws it?
We will see. We will see. They'll certainly be targeting him, that's for sure. Okay, next game is also on the Saturday. It's the Canes v the Blues. Also a good candidate for game of the week, to be honest. The Canes were excellent. Just got past the Reds last week, and the Blues were very good last week also. The Blues have Anton Senga, who is a German-born open side flanker, by the way. He went to was a good player in Germany and decided he wanted to go and play in school in New Zealand, and has subsequently gone through their system. So he's going to start play at blindside, partnering Dalton Papali'i, and Akira Iwani shifts to eight. Lachlan McFennell and Cameron Soofa are the locks. Sam Darry was ruled out with an MCL. Finlay Christie and Erika Ioane return to the back line.
I had no info.
No info on the
Hurricane, so
Canes.
I'm assuming they're exactly the same team.
Pardon me, I'll just look at. I think the Canes are pretty much unchanged. Just pull up their list. Yeah, they've still got Asafo Amua, Lomax, Kimi Niholo, Billy Proctor, Morbi, Ruben Love. Yeah, they're pretty much an unchanged team. They were pretty good last week. This will be a very, very good team, good fight in the forwards. Sally, what do you reckon?
When I looked at the games this weekend, this was the game I picked out that was the much watched one. I think it's going to be amazing, but the Hurricanes should do them up front, I think. Yeah, I'm not too sure about the back lines. The back lines might be fairly even. It's a pity that Carl's not here to tell us about Rico Ioane, but and how much he loves him. But
We could trigger him with that.
Hang on, he's just called in. He's
I'm
through.
gonna go with the Hurricanes on this one. Not by much, say five, but it's gonna be a great game. I can see this one going off.
Agreed, Gary.
Yeah, I think any team that can beat the current Reds can probably dominate any other team by 50. So they're Canes by that margin.
Fair enough. I just, it's a toss of a coin on this one. I'm probably going to go with the Blues. I just think they're going to go very deep into the comp. They'll be up. Both teams will be up for it. But honestly, it'll be fine. One of those games that's fine margins. It's a one score game, and it could come down to any number of factors. It is played in 1D Wellington, so it could be blowing its buttocks off or raining from any different direction. So look, we'll just have to see how that goes.
Yeah, it could be a one score game or it could be a blowout.
Yeah, I just don't think either team's got the capacity to kick away, but you know, they're definitely two high quality teams in this year's comp. You know, the Canes did probably got away with one that they shouldn't have last weekend, in my view. Reds were their own worst enemy, and there was a couple of bits and bobs went against them. So, but they're still good value for their win. And the Blues, I thought, pretty dominant.
I think just a small point on last week's game. When we went into extra time, the Reds won the toss and they decided to receive. And I think they should have kicked off.
Did they?
Yep. They
Okay.
said,
Oh,
and
yeah.
so immediately they're in their own half, receiving the ball. When they could have been, kick it long, get them to kick out, have a line out inside the Canes half. So I think, I don't know, what do you guys think? Should you, if you go into extra time, should you kick off?
Oh, 100%. I can't believe that they would have elected to receive, because best case scenario, you're going to be back up at halfway with the opposition having a line out. So yeah, no, 100%. If you go to extra time, you're going to want to have a first option with the ball, getting a launch off the line out. What do you think? What, Yanni?
Yeah, I mean it's golden point. It's not extra 10 minutes, and it's not golden try. You know, you could see it, like, or you know, both teams just trying to play for territory, and I guess by extension, you know, maybe get a penalty or similar. So, as Sully says, you know, why not start that whole exercise in the opposition's half?
Yeah, 100%. You've also got the option that, you know, how many times do you see a receiving team knock the ball on, or generally don't actually exit very well anyway, so that you end up with good ball in, you know, 30 meters out as opposed to back on halfway as well. So anyway, last game of the round, Sunday, 9th March. This is the one nearest and dearest to all of our hearts, the Reds and the Chiefs, the Waikato Chiefs, from Suncorp. Isaac Henry's come in for Hunter Posami, who's got HIA. Jock Campbell's going to the wing to cover winger fullback to cover for Pataia, who also has a HIA. Which allows Matt Greely to start, go to the starting side. Sefar Garcia moves into loose head for Alex Hodgman, who hurt his shoulder last week. And Jeffrey Tuimanga-Allen gets the opportunity to make his debut from the bench. The Chiefs front row has been rotated. You've got Aiden Ross, Taki Aho, and George Dyer in the front row. Solomon Parker's an open side flanker. Cortes Retima is at halfback. Daniel Rona is in the midfield. Sean Stevenson shifts to the wing, and Josh Ioane starts at fullback. They've changed their back line up a bit. Sully, thoughts?
Yeah.
Reds by 48.
I actually can't see, as much as it hurts me, I can't see the Reds winning this. The Chiefs have just been amazing this season, and I can't back my own club in this. But it's good, it's great to see Jeffrey Tuimanga-Allen on the bench for his first cap for the Reds. And I think the back line's going to go all right. Isaac Henry is a good young player.
Yes, a big unit too.
Yeah, he's a big boy. He'd be taller and heavier than Hunter Passami, who plays above his weight. Jock Campbell will be better at fullback than he is at wing, I'm sure. And Matt Grilley's a talent going forward. So, yeah, the Chiefs are just the Chiefs. I just can't see us winning. I reckon I'll put 15 to 20 points on us. How's that for pessimism?
More of an optimist with experience, Sully. Yeah, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I've got no objectivity when it comes to the Reds. Until it's dashed out of me, I'd like to believe we're onto something this season. Yeah, Reds by five.
Yeah, look, gents, I'm gonna be in the same boat as Yowie. It's early in the season. The scars from hitting my head against the brick wall have healed and so forth. So I hope over experience I'm going to go with the Reds. But let's be real, the Chiefs should win this game, to be fair. My heart says the Reds. My head says the Chiefs. But I'm going to be honest, I really like the way the Reds are playing at the moment. The biggest concern for mine, writing for tomorrow's article at In Gaga, is the Chiefs have lead the Super Rugby comp with 16 clean line breaks in two games. The Reds only have four, so they've scored most of their points from set play, rolling mauls, that sort of stuff. They're pretty competitive, but they're really not very good in the loose players yet. So anyway, that's where we're at. Now, I guess
Was there's no room on the scoreboard to say how you did it.
they don't paint pictures, do
Mate, I'm with you guys. I'm excited with what's happening at the Reds. So I can see something developing. It's happening, but it's happening. It hasn't happened.
they?
I think they'll get better and better as the season goes on.
Yeah, look, I think from my perspective as a Reds fan, it feels like and it's one of the things the AFL does really well in that the clubs project into each other, into the journey of going towards a premiership. It's a window and it's an opportunity to build into it. So, and the Reds feel like they're building into it after in the mid to 2015 through 2020. We felt like we were trying not to lose, and we didn't. It really feel like we had a path to success. At the moment, it feels like we've got a path to success. And while the hope does kill you, it's still hope. What do you think, Jess?
Yeah, no, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful, but I just can't see us going with the Chiefs yet. If we make the finals and run to the Chiefs, I'd be more confident then, I think, barring injuries, of course, but yeah.
I just like how the Reds' fundamentals are looking. Like we're holding on to possession through phases. It's finishing in points. We're not just doing something silly and losing it and getting done over, so far at least. And it's just so nice to see after as a Reds fan, there's a lot of lean years, and I just really like what I'm seeing.
How good's that mall?
Oh, mate.
It's just like a different thing to last year. It's like amazingly different.
And look, thus far in the competition, it does feel like each round has been almost been like a 1 week referendum on your season. So I think it because there seems to be a fair bit more jeopardy in the games, you'll feel like you're actually you can look at each game and think, oh, there's maybe one game a week where you go nailed on winner. But generally, it sort of look I can see different outcomes happening, which I'm really enjoying.
Happy. Just
Yes.
Nongor's copping a lot of crap for the scrum, but I'm not seeing. I mean, he's not too bad, and I'm seeing him getting pushed back from the second row, almost like he's just getting overpowered. Do you see it the same way?
Look, a little bit of that. I've been I've been highly critical of Nonga, and it much like Ned Hannigan, I look at him and I think he's much improved this year. Whether that's the influence of Hodgman and Tuomaga Allen teaching him a few tricks, or whether that, whether I don't know exactly what it is, but I think he's been much better this year. As I said, I went out to Roma and Angus Bell did unspeakable things to him out there, and you looked at him after the game and he looked like he'd been through the ringer. So he's improved. He wasn't too bad last week. So I think he's got some real improvement in. Should be interesting.
Yeah, I just saw him keeping his body shape, and it was actually his legs that were going backwards, and he wasn't losing his bind or his shape.
Yeah, you've got to bear in mind if he's got McWright behind him, he's probably going to be giving up some kilos to the other opposition flanker. And I don't, we don't have big second rowers.
No.
They're just the facts. Ryan Smith is a decent sized second rower, but we don't really have that hefty tight headlock that you see in a lot of French teams and that sort of thing, where they've just got a massive humanity behind the tight head, just
And
providing so much weight.
our other lock's a back rower, so
Sarariru played seven at the on the in the Barbas tour.
it was my favorite seven overside performance of last year. It was brilliant.
Yeah,
Yeah.
100%. So you've got Smith playing tight head lock, and he's probably just big enough to do it, but not going to dominate, that's for certain. So anyway, let's move on to the last segment, gentlemen, which is where you get to have a little bit of a rant. We're going to call it shouting at clouds. Could be old men shouting at clouds, but fortunately, yeah, he's brought down the average age this week. So
Probably halved
he's exactly right. So shouting at clouds. What's on your mind? What do you want to have a little bit of a rant about? Sorry, go.
I want to talk about Golden Point. And this is not because the Reds lost in Golden Point. I just hate Golden Point. To me, that was a brilliant game of two teams that went each other for 80 minutes, and neither was significantly better than the other, and it could have been a draw. To me, that was a draw, and that's a good enough result for me. If you're not gonna, if the result's not good enough for our sponsors or the betting agencies or whatever else, I don't really care about that. But if we have to have a result, Golden Point's like the worst option for a result. We could play extra time. That would make no difference to play 10 minutes extra time instead of 10 minutes Golden Point. Or we could have golden try instead of a golden point. Like Golden Point makes, not makes, tends to let, encourage referees to put the whistles away for penalties because they don't want to give away penalties to decide the game on a penalty. It tends to make teams not play attacking rugby. They play territorial rugby to try and get a field goal or a penalty. It's just not, to me, Golden Point's the worst option of all the things to decide a draw. So I hate Golden Point, and I hope there's no reason to have it in a game like that. There's no point. We could have shared the points, and to me, that would have been happy. That was a brilliant game, and it didn't need a winner for me. Your thoughts on that, guys?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's the in general the teams play with a lot less ambition. You almost get scared to win, scared to lose it rather than try to win. So, and sometimes a draw is the story. It can be equally dissatisfying for both sides. Yeah, any thoughts?
Yeah, look, I tend to agree, and it also it seems such a roll of the dice. I mean, as Sully mentioned, whoever kicks off, I mean, that sort of throws the thing, in one direction, and then there's not the sort of equal opportunity for the other team, to do similar. And I don't know, it just seems cheap. Like, let's flip the coin and be done with this. Whereas, extra 10 minutes, golden try, like take your pick, or just accept a draw, which I don't have a problem with. I mean, I think in my mind they were toe to toe and each other's equals, and it was a great game. So yeah, I think that's an excellent point.
Yeah, what's your showing at Clouds moment for the week?
Oh, not a great deal. I mean, I enjoyed the weekend rugby, but I think the I'm sort of rehashing old stuff here, but the sort of super round. I mean, I only found out about it when I saw a Batuta Advocate joke article about it. I went, oh, is that this weekend? So, typical whinge. There's no sort of promotion. From what I've heard, the prices sort of don't lend themselves to people kind of making a weekend festival of it. It just sort of seems like someone's sort of taken the money and done the minimum. I think it's a great concept, but it could certainly be done better, whether it's in Melbourne or another place.
I tried to get my missus interested in going down for it, and she just wasn't interested in going to six rugby games in a weekend, or even, four. She just wants to watch the Reds, and she's not really interested in anything else.
Yeah, look, I like the Super Rugby thing. I think it is lovely, but it just didn't. I think I was chatting to somebody I know today, and he basically said it's too early in the season. There isn't any narrative yet. You don't know whether the Crusaders are rubbish. You don't know whether you don't know what the real story is of the competition, so there's not really that want to go and see it for that reason. I think it's great. I think it's a great idea, but whether it's held in Melbourne, whether it's held somewhere else, I like the Stan idea of holding it in Fiji. I think it'd be a great thing to do. Be a lot of guys who could talk their wife into going to Fiji and spending a week in a resort while they go to the rugby for the first 4 days, or somewhere, even somewhere like Hong Kong would be pretty cool. I think they'd pull a pretty good crowd over there.
It's the last year for Melbourne to have the license for that, isn't it? I think.
It is, yeah, 100%.
So they can decide whether to keep going with it next year or leave it in Melbourne or relocate it, basically. Yeah.
Were they technically New Zealand home games?
That was the original concept, is they bought it off the New Zealand or TEG or whoever the company was, bought the home games off the New Zealand franchises. So they dropped out a home game, and then they put them all in Melbourne, and that's why in the first year I think it was practically all New Zealand v Australia games, and that sort of hurt them because obviously, there was basically just New Zealand teams winning, so there wasn't any real want from anyone to go and see it from Australia's perspective, and TEG have done a terrible job of promoting it in Melbourne. I've got a friend down who lives down there, and he's not a rugby person, and he didn't even know it was on. So, but it is Melbourne.
I don't want to add to the Tars' glory, but I suppose they can claim they beat the Crusaders at home.
Well, exactly. Good point.
It was a great game. It was a great weekend of rugby, and it was just a pity that so many people didn't go see it live.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
But imagine if the prices were such that, for a fairly modest price, you could see as many games as you want. I mean, how many people would turn that into their weekend festival, as opposed to what I saw in the comments from one of our the Melbourne based members of sort of, not much change out of $400, $600, or $800, whatever it was, for a, I forget if it was a family or an individual, but for some fairly grim sort of seats. Like, should we pay the car registration this year, family, or should we, go to some games? I don't know. Imagine cheap prices, and we're like, this is great. I'm going to go to a ton of games. I'm going to see some entertainment, go to local restaurants, and just sort of draw everyone into that.
Yeah, someone said, "Oh, we should hold it. It should be held in Brisbane," and I could not disagree more, because if they held it at this time of the year in Suncorp Stadium, I went to the Tens when they held it there, And one day it was like 43 degrees. You just couldn't sit anywhere in the sun. It was too hot to do anything. And it would just be exactly like that if you tried to play day games in Brisbane at that time of the year. Might be a good time for the Reds to take on the Satyrs, but yeah, apart from that, it just made it very, very tough.
I was supposed to take photos at the tens, and I did. I made it the first day, and I just couldn't go the second day. I was heat stroke basically. Yeah, it was just too hot.
Yeah, so, but that goes to the point. It should be later in the season. Yeah. Okay. My shouting out clouds is a bit of a spray at the Australian non-rugby media because they're just not paying attention to anything. That's the ABC. It's Channel 9. It's whatever. They're just paying no attention to the rugby whatsoever. They will happily sprout on about, some guy doing his hamstring in a trial game in the AFL in out of butt knuckle and, all that sort of stuff, or, tiddlywinks in Darwin, but won't even touch on the rugby. And it really is an absolute indictment, in my view, on the Australian media environment in the moment. I watch the ABC Radio, ABC News in the morning, who are based in Melbourne. They did not mention the Super Round once. Now that's either malfeasance on the rugby side, but it's also on theirs. Like, how can they possibly, be talking about anything like that when they don't even talk about what's going on in their own town? Ridiculous.
I concur, Happy. I mean, doing my sort of news roundup on the Wednesday just passed, your so-called sort of mainstream media, whether it's ABC or Channel 7, a little bit more on Nine, but there's either no recent articles or there's one or two, and then you scroll down and go, oh, hang on, this was 2023 stuff. It's quite remarkable how little coverage there is.
Yeah, well, with a bunch of amateurs like us can do coverage 5 days a week minimum, it's and beat news organisations like that, it's pretty poor.
Agreed. Agreed. Anyway, has anyone got anything else to add?
Go the Reds.
Yeah, the Reds. Yowie?
Yeah, oh look, I don't want to sort of jump to conclusions, but I think this is the end of rugby union in Christchurch. I think they need to do an AFL style draft so they can get some Australian players there to learn a bit of winning culture, skill, that sort of
Right,
Okay.
going out hard, Yowie. Let's wait until we beat them and see what happens then, shall we? I'm not quite going to go out that hard. I admire your thought process, but I'm not quite there yet. So anyway, the hot takes come from Yowie. That'll about round us up for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you've had a bit of fun with us. Have a great weekend. Looking forward to the rugby. Just with respect to our little thing here and the guys on the drop kickoff and the rugby report card, download, rate, review, do all those good things to try and help us out with our algorithms and all those sorts of things that'll get more people seeing us, more people listening, and more people enjoying the rugby. Thank you and good night. Good night, boys.